All right, let's begin this study on prayer with worship again. This is David's Psalms are full of prayers for the church of his day. Let's read these selected verses of Psalm 122. Ali A U B. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure.
May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels.
For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, "Peace be within you."
For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity.
Let me pray. Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, make us sensitive to what our true needs are and to the needs of others. Move us to call earnestly upon you in prayer. Please be with anybody who might be affected by where that siren is going. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so last week and first week we talked about what is prayer for a Christian. Second week we talked about that a little bit too. Last week we started talking about how is a Christian to pray. We're going to do part two of that. Review last week. You guys remember the four letters?
Acts.
Okay, A for?
Adoration.
D or C for? Confession. T for?
Thanksgiving.
S for?
Supplication.
Yeah, that's the one that confidants always struggle with. What's that? God would supply, right? Supplication, asking something of God. So we'll do part two of that. We're going to seek God's blessings for ourselves and for others today. We talked about this a little bit last week, but we'll dive into it more so this week. Go to the introduction. I can do it myself. If you have or have had a four-year-old in your house, those are familiar words. Moms and dads often watch with pride as their four-year-olds insist on dressing themselves, tying their own shoes, and pouring their own juice. Parents understand this as a vital part of the maturation process. They don't even mind when the juice gets spilled once in a while, or when the shoes are tied with granny knots, or when the shirt gets put on inside out. It's a different matter, however, when an adult goes through life insisting, "I can do it myself." Self-reliance and independence are important virtues, but not when they prevent us from seeking or accepting help when we need it. The worst kind of self-reliance is the kind that refuses to ask God for help. That's the mark of a spiritual four-year-old, and we need to be on guard against it. So let's dive in studying God's Word. Go to Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6, just one little verse to start. God encourages us to pray about any need we have. Philippians 4:6. All right, looks like we're just about ready. Who wants the privilege of reading the word of the Almighty God? Please.
I love this one. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God.
All right, simply a powerful message. Number one, when we try to do it ourselves, we can't help but become anxious about our unmet needs. What does Paul tell us to do?
Present your request to God.
Right? Take it to the Lord. Bring it to Him. Now, number two, how many needs should we take to the Lord in prayer? Everything. How do you do on that? Let me ask you, what prevents you from taking some things to God in prayer? Maybe.
I know with me, because I struggle with this one a lot, is when something comes up, I go into, I got to fix this mode, and I go through all these things that I need to do, and da 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 da. And then all of a sudden it dawns on me, why don't you take it to the Lord in prayer? you know, and sometimes I do, but I gotta say, a lot of times I just go into fix it. I gotta fix this, you know.
Fix it mode.
Yeah.
Yeah, fix it mode instead of taking it to him. I think there was, I remember one time hearing that Luther said, somebody asked him, how many hours a day do you pray? He says, two. And they're just like, what? 2 hours? Like, how do you have time to pray for 2 hours? And he says, I don't have enough time in the day not to pray for 2 hours. I can't get everything done without him, right? So, kind of a powerful reminder there. What else might prevent you from taking everything to the Lord in prayer?
Well, sometimes if you lose something, how many times do you stop and ask the Lord to help you find it? Because he knows right where it is. So, but there's, they'll spend, I don't know, an hour looking for keys or whatever it is, and the bulb will stop and look at each other and go, why are we doing this? Why don't we ask the Lord for it if he knows where it is? So sometimes we just, you know,
if we can't,
forget.
We can't find our phone. Heather and I now have this awesome gift from God called the Google Home Mini. Hey, Google, dial my phone, right? Yeah. How often do we go, hey, God, help me out here? Oh, I just said that, and I'll Google on my phone probably.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is, too, is, oh, this is so little, if he's so big, and it's not worth his time.
Okay, so somewhere we should think like, ah, it's so tiny, it's not worth God's time.
Well, like keys, right? That's just so minute, when there's so much else going on in the world that you think, oh, I don't need to pray about keys, because there's... But you can
pray about all things. Yeah, we think, that's such a tiny thing. Why would God lead me to find my keys? You know, even something simple like that. But, you know, maybe you could. You never know. Great. What else might prevent us?
Gotta get on with the day,
yeah. Yeah, I don't have time, right?
Yeah.
I gotta get to stuff.
I'm afraid of his answer. It might not be what I wanted it to be.
I won't talk to you because I'm afraid of the answer. Gideon does that. Like, Gideon, where are you going? Stop, where are you going? You can tell, like, I know he's not going to like the answer. But God doesn't do that. Lisa?
I was going to say being ashamed. Just not feeling worthy to ask.
To approach him, right? Like, who am I? Look at those sins I commit, or that one big sin I committed even today, and I can't come to him. What's that forgetting?
His forgiveness.
His forgiveness, right? Yeah, what are you covered with? When you sin, you don't fall out of faith, right? We don't sin, we don't want to sin, but when you sin, it's not like you're all of a sudden an unbeliever. God still wants you to come to him, right? Your kids mess up, you want them to come to you? Yeah, when Adam and Eve messed up, what did God do? Where are you? Right? And then he wanted to guide them to confess their sin. God knew what they should. What else?
Yeah, you know, by all the problems and stuff around, once you start getting into that space of frustration, I think you're asking things from God is less on your mind than just being upset with something going on around you.
Okay, so maybe you're upset with something instead of, like, your first reaction is to get upset about it, is that what you're saying? Instead of
yeah, I think once you get there, then it can be hard to pull out and stop focusing on the thing that's bugging you first and take it to God.
Yeah, absolutely. So you just kind of dwell on that frustration instead of throwing it on him. Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. Adrian, say your hand.
I was just going to say, technology is a blessing from God, but I think sometimes technology makes society less and less patient. So just trusting that God's time is not our time. I think sometimes people doubt and go, well, God, are you there? Have you answered? Are you going to answer? You know, nothing's happening. Time's ticking.
Mm-hmm. I saw a comic once. I shared in the presentation once, too, about patience, where it's three what frame comic. The first one is me going, Lord, give me patience. The second one is like, and the third one is, hurry up! Right? How often are we late?
I bought a little pillow once
that on the hangar that says, Lord, give me patience, but please hurry.
But please hurry, yeah.
And that was my thing all through high school and college, because I just was very impatient with, you know, kind of like with what she was saying about, you know, I gotta get this done. I just gotta go into getting it done mode.
Yep, you want to get it done instead of giving it to him to let him do it on his time. It has to be done on our time, and we get in that mode because we feel like I've got instant coffee, I've got instant information, I've got instant this and that, and I want instant answers to my prayer.
Well, sometimes it's the pressure of people around you that want everything done now. You know, they don't want to wait for you to figure it out, they just want you to get it done now.
Sure, sure. Patience, you know, and in that way too. Yeah, absolutely. People around you. And then you pray that, you know, hopefully they can see that you're trying to be patient. Good. All right. So let's go to James. James 4. James has some good thoughts on prayer. We're going to read the first three verses of James 4. So if anybody's willing, go for it.
What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures.
Okay, interesting. Number three, what do unfulfilled desires lead to in verse 1?
Fights and quarrels.
Fights and quarrels, yeah. With whom?
Fellow Christians.
Okay, fellow Christians. What else?
With yourself.
With yourself, too, right? Within you, it says. Yeah, the battle within you. Other people around you, too. Okay, number four. What is the wrong way to deal with unfulfilled desires? Number two? Or verse two, sorry.
Don't lust after.
What is the wrong way to deal with unfulfilled desires?
Add sin to sin.
Okay, I keep going and to get that sin, right? Yeah. Notice that first strong one. I think even when Brett was reading it, he was kind of like, wait, what? So you kill? How do we kill?
Hate.
Hate? Yeah, it's a form of that, right?
Jim? What came to my mind is revenge. I've read, you know, quite a bit about stuff like that. And revenge is a very bad thing. And you have to let it go and put it in God's hands. Because that could lead to killing and just really bad things. And it's not our place to do that.
All right, so hate. We've got revenge, the desire for revenge. That can lead to kill. Anger, right? Jesus says whoever is angry at a brother is a murderer. Somebody says, I think maybe John. First John. Whoever hates his brother is murdered. That's what I'm thinking. So you can kind of see, what does he mean by kill? It's not just killing somebody physically, right? But even in your mind or in your heart. I would rather that they die. Okay?
I was going to say that. Oh, your sorry. Thoughts. Yes.
Should have just called me. Sorry. Yeah. I like to laugh. I do like thoughts. Number five, what is the right way to deal with our desires? Also verse 2. Too simple, nobody wants to say anything. Ask God. There you go. It's like in catechism class trying to figure out, is this too simple or too hard? Martha.
Morning.
I'm Mary Jane. Yeah, ask God, right? We forget about that. We've talked about that a little bit. Number six, what should we do, however, before we ask God to fulfill our desires? Number three.
Check your hearts first.
Check your motives, yeah. Why is that important?
Because he's not going to give it to you if he doesn't think it's good for you. And if your motives are wrong, it's probably not good for you.
Lord, I want you to bless that church member so that they have more money to give to church. Good motives, bad motives. Right? Lord, I want you to help my child become smarter and better so that people can see how awesome of a dad I am. Right? Poor motives, right? And then the Lord knows those. Is God going to answer those prayers? Yes, but not with what you want from him, right? Number 7, agree or disagree? James is saying that prayers for more money are unacceptable.
Depends on the motive.
Depends on the motive? What do you mean by that?
If it's for good things or if it's for worldly things, it makes a difference.
Lord, give me $1 million. Give it to the church. Right? I know you're not saying that. I'm just joking. But so motives, he's getting to it.
I was just going to say I disagree with it because, again, money is not bad. I mean, it's like saying a hammer is bad. I mean, it's just, what are you going to use a hammer for? Are you going to kill somebody with it or are you going to build a house? And it's just the motive behind it.
Absolutely.
It's not the money, it's the love.
Yeah, and what you're going to impact the motive, we talked about that. So now, what types of prayers for money, give it examples. It might be good. Penny?
If you're asking for money, so like, because you really are struggling to want to send a child to New Ulm or to parochial high school, you just don't have the funds in the budget right now. You could, pray for something, for the ability to send your child to that, and part of that is
to get that good education and the Christ-centered. Yeah. What are the examples, Brett?
It's kind of obvious, but I guess if someone in your family loses a job and you need to pay bills and keep the house and the car and get groceries and stuff for your family, you might not necessarily pay for money, but you'd be paying the Lord to give you an opportunity to find another job, which the main point of that job is to have money to support your family.
Yeah, so absolutely. So for others' sake, especially if you're a father or mother providing for children, there's talking about right motives too. It's pretty neat. There's a man who's going to be coming into St. Mark's, being a member, coming up here on May 20th. He was working as a mechanic, and he found out, or at an auto shop, and he found out that they're Christians, but they were still being dishonest, charging more than they needed to. And he talked to him about it, and they said, well, you just have to separate, who you are from the job sometimes.
What?
So he quit. 2 weeks later, got a new job. Good one that he loves. Right? Good motives, right?
I was just going to add that it was somebody who didn't have a job for a while, too. So
that's a good point.
Having a family on that, and that was still, he wasn't okay with that.
He was obviously stressing out about it, right? Yeah, he put it on the Lord's hands, and he did that good thing, that following God's commands, and God bless him for it. His word in my life. Discuss this situation. A certain Christian complains to others about his wants and needs, but won't pray about them because he considers most of them too trivial to bother God. Talked about this a little bit already. How about this? How would you counsel this Christian? Okay, so talk to him about God and who he is.
Yeah, that God loves him and cares about him, about everything, and nothing is too small.
Okay, Adrian.
I was going to say, I don't know the verse, but something along the past, all we have cared about him, you guys, he cares for you.
Okay.
That God cares about us enough that we should be able to take anything
from
him. Well, I'm going to take a different tack, because I think this is where a lot of Christians struggle, and I struggled growing up Lutheran, and we were kind of taught, you don't want to babble in your prayers. And that sometimes, talking about every little thing is kind of babbling. That you should focus more on God's will, and then the passage about
You know, look at the lilies of the field, the birds of the air. God takes care of their daily needs. So don't worry about those. Put your trust in God for those things. And, you know, then you don't need to find yourself praying, oh God, please give me, you know, the money to buy this pack of gum. And, you know, to me, that's how we grew up, is like, those are kind of trivial things. You need to focus on, you know, some of the bigger things that you can bring that to God in prayer, but at the same time, if you're strong in your faith, you know God's going to provide the things that you need.
Okay, so you're getting closer and stressing even more the motivation, right? When you talk about babbling, what designates a prayer as babbling? And especially when Jesus confronts this in the Pharisees, says that they babble. Why are they praying?
To look good.
To look good, right? God, I'm going to pray for this. I'm praying to you for, do you know I'm awesome about it, right? Or it might be the other different motivation, like you had mentioned, like that anxiety, that I have to pray for this, or I'm not going to get it, right? And there needs to be that trust there.
Like, well, I mean, in the example of the Pharisee and the tax collector in the temple, when the Pharisee is praying bold and big and loud and showy, and the tax collector is praying quietly, Lord, just, you know, forgive me, I'm a sinner.
Yeah, again, the motivation different too, right?
And that's the way I look at prayer all the time, is what is my motivation for praying for this person or that person? And if I have a struggle with a certain person, you know, I will pray for them if I feel really strongly that their eyes are closed to something. But if they're a fellow Christian, I'm praying that God will take care of that. And if God leads me to be that person, then great. And if he doesn't, great. As long as God's will is fulfilled, you know, for me and for that person, then I'm fine with whatever outcome there is. You know, we've struggled with financial stuff, and both Rich and I said, God, we can't fix this. This is in your hands, and God has taken care of us in incredible ways that we couldn't have imagined.
Absolutely.
And when you're living your life trusting in God, then you don't feel the need to pray over.
And then trust. Right?
Every little thing.
There's
because
trust
you just
there.
Trust that God's going to do what he's going to do for your best.
It's a balancing act, isn't it? You don't want to think like this is too trivial, because God does care about every little thing. But at the same time, there is some trust there. So it's always good to check your motivations. I would caution that, though, and recommend that as you do pray, sometimes I think we do more of this is too trivial, and instead of the other side, you know, pray for every little thing. I think a lot of times our prayer lives don't consider how powerful it is for even those things that we think are too trivial. So my recommendation, for all of us, would be to let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Cast all your cares on him. Brett, can you hear me?
I was just saying, building on that encouragement for the Christian friend, or even for ourselves sitting here today, is to keep in God's word, because you keep learning those truths. Like, just how, I mean, I've talked about prayer before, but sitting and listening to this, like, I can't remember ever having the James passage applied to before. So it's like, just keep studying God's word, and you learn these different things, or refresh your memory. Maybe you did learn it, you just didn't remember that. So, encouragement for a Christian who struggles to stay in the word and trust what the Lord is saying.
Absolutely. And I heard a number of Christians say, I want to know the Lord better. But then their Bible is dusty, right on the shelves. There's a lot that God reveals about himself. It's kind of funny how sometimes we can think it's so intimidating because it's so big, and yet at the same time, recognize that God says so much and forget that we can learn a lot from him when we go to God's Word. Ellie?
The Lord's Prayer, if we think about it, there's only one petition that deals with the physical. Give us this day our daily bread. All the rest is spiritual.
So having a good focus on our prayers too, recognize that God will give us that, and focus on the spiritual would be good too. Good thoughts. Final thought on the bottom there. The Lord wants to take all our needs to him in prayer, but he warns us to examine our motives, lest we pray selfishly or to satisfy sinful desires. So that's as we pray for things for ourselves. Now let's turn the focus as we take the needs of others to God in prayer. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Mm-hmm. Who would like the privilege to speak the word of love to each other?
Okay.
Go for it.
I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth.
Okay, so number one, for whom should we pray? We take that for granted too, though. Pray for all people. Let's dissect that. Who's included in all people?
Us.
Okay, us. So praying for ourselves. Praying for
leaders.
Leaders. Praying for
our enemies.
Enemies. Yeah, we forget them and all.
Our church.
For those who don't know him.
For those who don't know him, unbelievers too, right? There's, remember my bishop, Vicar here, told me that somebody came up to him and said, Pastor, can we pray for my friend? I know they're an unbeliever, but I mean, can we still pray for them? Yeah. We pray for unbelievers too. Right? Especially. Who else? Family, friends?
For those who have fallen away from the church, okay, to bring them back.
Those who were connected but now aren't connected. Yeah. Pray. I don't think we do that enough either. Think about our outreach, inreach, and bringing back those who have fallen to pray. Okay, number two. What blessings might we ask God to give to government authorities? Wisdom. Okay, so that they can follow, you know, at least some sort of God law, right? We can't expect the government to be Christian, right? We want to make sure to keep those separate. But at the same time, recognize that maybe they could help further some of God's will. Yeah? That's something else?
Honesty.
Honesty. Honesty would be good, yeah. What about what else?
Like our constitution and freedom of speech, because I pray that, because I never want to take for granted that you can do what you're doing and that we can come here and hear the word of God, and never take that for granted, because so many other places in the world can't do that.
Absolutely. Look at the freedom we have, right? So let's go to that. For what reasons do we pray for those things? He mentions it in there. So that people can know Jesus and God our Savior, and so that we can, for kings and all those in authorities, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. When is Paul writing this to Timothy? He's facing a lot of persecution from the government. He wants to pray for them, that they can live in peace, and so that other people can know Jesus. You and I can still pray that too here, that he maintains that peace for us. Because like you said, being in China and India, seeing what happens there, if I were to even share God's word as a foreigner in India, I'd get kicked out. So I had to be very careful. In China, same thing. You know, it has to be a government church, so on and so forth. We take for granted the blessings that we have here and the way our government protects us as well. Even just the physical blessings that our government can bring us, those stop signs, those stoplights, even though I probably spend half the time on the road sitting at a stoplight. Thank God for peace and safety, right? That I can still get home safely so that tomorrow's a new day and we can share Jesus' love.
It's
a
good time to pray.
It's a good time to pray, absolutely. We're going to sing hymn verses. Next one. Go to 1 Thessalonians 3. Thessalonians 3, 9 through 13. Who wants to read that? Jim, go for it.
How can can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you may be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones.
Number three, review the elements of prayer that we learned earlier. We talked about ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Locate those elements in the prayer Paul offered to God on behalf of the Thessalonians. So where do you see adoration to God? This one you gotta look and maybe take to the next level a little bit. You see adoration. When we praise God, what are we doing? What are we recognizing about Him?
Greatness.
His greatness, right? Yeah, that He's worth it too, right? Worship is to ascribe worth. So that's what adoration is and praising. Where do you see Paul recognize who God is in here?
Verse 13, where he's charged that he may establish you as holy before God at the coming of Christ. It's one, acknowledging that God's coming in, and two, acknowledging that we're to be holy because God, first and foremost, is holy, and we're to be holy in reflection of who he is.
Yeah, and the knowledge of what Jesus did and how all that works and what God has done for us, yeah, you definitely see that underneath the surface there, right? That adoration for what God, who he is. Here we see it with the Father. We see it, make your love increase, the fact that he has the power for that. That one's a little harder to see. Confession. See there? Yep. And you think even if Paul's reading that, maybe he's feeling like we didn't do enough. Mm-hmm. So may God help us. Okay. Thanksgiving. Verse 9. How can we thank God enough? So there you go. And supplication, there's a lot of that here. May. Right? Please. On behalf of the Thessalonians. So Paul even has some of those elements there too. Number four, if you prayed Paul's prayer for your own congregation, which parts would you leave as is, which would you modify, and which specific request would your prayer contain for your congregation? Read through it, think in your own mind. Keep, change, modify. What would you focus on specifically? It's all open.
I would keep it all.
Keep it all? Yeah.
It's amazing how prevalent it is, you know, even today from there.
Yeah, it connects well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What would you add? Specific request.
Thank you for our pastors.
Thank you. I wasn't leading into that. I don't want you guys to think about it.
I do every day.
Appreciate it. God is good. What else? We thank him for you too, brother.
I think, again, just for the freedom and being able to do this, what that says, that we can do it, just to be so aware of that and so thankful for it every day.
And that that thanks would overflow into taking advantage of that freedom too, right? Yeah, to be able to
exercising
share
that. It.
Yeah, exercising. Every day. We've got two Board of Outreach members here. I think I pointed them out before. Sure, they've got some specific requests too. You think of outreach, mm-hmm. Congregation would really take hold of that freedom that's there. Got an elder here as well. I'm sure he's got some specific prayers and he's thinking in his mind about maybe congregation members that have maybe fallen away.
Blessing the calls.
Blessing the calls, yeah, coming up. Absolutely, there's a big specific one for even today. Yeah, Chuck.
That you would strengthen us spiritually, increase the joy in our hearts for what he has done, and lead us toward hearts better equipped for service here and elsewhere.
Good, yeah, focus on that, what do we do now, right? Equipping for service, that's good. Yeah.
In light of today's confirmation, I would, you know, pray for the children that are being confirmed. Especially I think about how we're all getting older, where are the young people? You know, so just praying that they stay in the faith and stay, you know.
Yeah, big prayers for them, right? There's a lot of temptations these days.
A lot. So,
yeah, big prayers for them. Mm-hmm. All right, bottom question there is, where am I at? Agree or disagree? It is very important that we know all the details about the lives of our fellow Christians so we can pray about them intelligently. Well, I didn't know if you were laughing because you agreed. Like, yeah, absolutely. No, yeah, that was a disagree, right? So we got to remember that God knows, and we can lean on him to know what's going on.
You know, that has come through on the prayer chain, too, is there's a member or a friend of a member who needs your prayers, and that's about all it says. Mm-hmm. We know that, right? God knows it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the bottom sentence there, for whom are we praying? Are you praying regularly, specifically, confidently? God wants us to pray for the spiritual and temporal needs of those around us, especially fellow Christians. You can see the summary there. Next week we'll talk about part three, how is a Christian to pray? I have to end it right now because we're going to get ready for confirmation. And keep saying your prayers even before as we go so that the confirmants can be nice and calm. Realize that they're confessing their faith that they already know. And may God also, if you are coming to second service, refresh you in those truths as well. Marty?
I think of a favorite hymn, and it says, the bottom line is, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.
Very good, my God. What a privilege it is. God bless you as you do that. We have to end the prayer, right? Lord, please bless this congregation. Amen.
Amen.